theme for worship this Lent has been wilderness. That theme has been so fitting for these uncertain and unsettling days. The coronavirus has forced us into a wilderness that none of us could have ever imagined. With a stay-at-home advisory in effect here in Massachusetts until April 7th, with schools closed until at least May 4th, with in-person worship suspended at Old South until at least May 17th, all of our familiar routines and habits of and ways of being in community, it feels like everything is changing and shifting from day to day, if not hour by hour. We are in the wilderness. And we have needed our preaching series this Lent to remind us that the wilderness is not only a place of desolation and despair, but it can also be a place of healing and of hope. Today's scripture reading from the book of Ezekiel is a powerful reminder of this truth. Now, if there's any part of Ezekiel that you know, it's probably the section that we're going to read together today. Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. This vision dates to the period of Israel's history known as the Babylonian exile. At the beginning of the 6th century BCE, the armies of Babylon laid siege to the city of Jerusalem and eventually forced the city to surrender. As punishment for their role in leading the rebellion, the Judean king and many Judean leaders were exiled to Babylon. 10 years later, after Jerusalem had rebelled again, the Babylonians destroyed the city and tore down its temple and deported a second wave of Judean leaders. Among the first wave of the deported was the young Ezekiel. God would later call him to be a prophet, to be a voice speaking the word of the Lord to the people of God. Now, for those who were living in exile in Babylon, the future seemed so bleak. The exile was more than just a crisis of physical suffering and communal identity. It was also a crisis of faith, because the key symbols of the Israelites' faith, Jerusalem, its temple, its people, the Davidic monarchy, everything, all of that was gone. It seemed to the exiles that the Babylonians had not only destroyed their lives, but also, maybe, the Babylonians had even defeated their God. The exiles were in the wilderness, and everywhere they looked, they saw only destruction and death, desolation and despair. But Ezekiel's vision reminded them that death and despair will never get the last word with a God who can breathe life into the driest of bones. Maybe we need that reminder today. So let us listen now for the word of God as spoken through the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, 'Mortal, can these bones live?' I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. And they stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost and we are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Will you please join with me in a spirit of prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of my colleagues in the United Church of Christ, the Reverend Leah Roberts Moser, she started a new practice a few weeks ago. It was around the time when the significance of the coronavirus pandemic was starting to become clear, and her church, like ours, had to make the abrupt decision to suspend in-person worship and curtail all church activities. She started writing brief notes of encouragement to her church. She would take pictures of them and then post them on Facebook. She also shared them in online clergy groups so that we could all benefit from her deep faith and her profound wisdom. The very first note she wrote resonated with so many of us pastors who are trying to figure out how to do ministry in this unprecedented time. She started the note with these words: since I've not pastored people through a pandemic before, please remember, I don't know all the answers. Just take out the word pastored and put in parented, and maybe you can relate. My goodness, parenting through a pandemic has its own set of challenges, doesn't it? As does teaching through a pandemic, or nursing through a pandemic, or delivering mail through a pandemic, or working as a grocery store employee through a pandemic. Take out the word pastored and put in the word lived. We've never lived through a pandemic before. So we all need to be gentle with ourselves and with each other as we make our way through the wilderness and try to find answers together. Now, Reverend Leah's most recent note seems like it could have been written for the Israelites living in exile over 2,500 years ago. Just as much as it was written for those of us who are living in the wilderness of this pandemic today. The note goes like this. Dear everybody, check in. How are you? What do you need to lament this week? Name it. There is power in naming the pain. Where did you see hope this week? Kindling hope is a practice of our faith, and we must keep practicing it. And she signed the note as she always does, love your pastor, P.S., wash your hands. Lament and hope. Two important practices for the Israelites who were living in the wilderness of exile over 2,500 years ago. God begins Ezekiel 37 by bringing the prophet to a valley full of bones and asking him a question: mortal, can these bones live? As Ezekiel looks around that valley filled with dry bones, it seems he doesn't know what the right answer is. All he can utter are the words, "O Lord God, only you know." Our reading today begins in the midst of destruction and death, desolation and despair, but there is good news coming at the end. There will be healing, there will be hope, there will be breath, there will be life. But we can't fully comprehend the magnificent hope at the end of this passage without some attention as to why Ezekiel's response to God is so resigned. O Lord God, only you know. Before we can watch the wind swirl the bones back together and marvel at the newly formed human beings breathing the breath of life again, we have to ask, why is that valley full of dry bones to begin with? What has caused this vision of destruction and death, and what has brought Ezekiel to the point of such desolation and despair? We need to remember what had led up to Ezekiel's grand vision in the valley of the dry bones. We need to remember that Ezekiel himself was taken into exile during that first wave of deportations, that his status had been reduced from a prominent position as a future priest in Jerusalem to that of a priest without a temple, serving a people without a land. We need to remember that Ezekiel suffered through the death of his very own wife. And we cannot forget the communal trauma that accompanied all of the people who lived in exile. We cannot forget that the Babylonians tortured the inhabitants of Jerusalem with siege warfare that lasted almost 2 years, leading to incredible death and disease and despair. And we cannot forget how the Babylonians destroyed the city of Jerusalem, how they demolished the holy temple of God, how they killed so many people and forced so many others to leave behind everything that they knew, everything that was familiar to them, in order to live in an unknown land. Over and over again in his role as a prophet, Ezekiel carries not only his individual grief, he also bears witness to the collective trauma of his people, a people living in the wilderness of exile. He carries his own pain and the pain of his beloved ones. Now, so often we want to rush to the end of today's reading, to the healing and hope, to the breath and love and new life, because the horror at the beginning is just too hard to face. We don't want to confront the pain that led to the valley filled with dry bones in the first place. But friends, we can only fully grasp the beauty of the good news if we also acknowledge the brokenness of God's people. Because the beauty is this: even in a wilderness filled with destruction and despair, with desolation and with death, even there, the possibility of healing and hope remained. The good news of new life did not come to God's people after all the hard stuff had passed. It came to them right in the midst of the hard stuff. The good news of Ezekiel's vision was that new life would come to the Israelites right in the wilderness of exile. It would come in the midst of unspeakable loss. The good news for them, the good news for us, is that dry bones can rise up and God's Spirit can bring new life. Lament and hope. Two important practices for those of us who are living in the wilderness of this pandemic. As the days and weeks unfold, we will be tempted to rush to healing and hope, especially when the horror of what is happening gets too hard to face. And we need to kindle hope. It is a practice of our faith. But let us remember that where that hope is born. It is born in the wilderness. It is born in our brokenness and the brokenness of this world. It is born in places of destruction and death, desolation and despair. So we don't have to deny the hard stuff. Remember, there is power in naming our pain. Because hope without lament is just idealism. But hope that is born from lament is deep faith. So friends, let's check in. How are you? What do you need to lament this week? Name it. Write a comment and name the hard stuff that you are facing in this time. Name your fears, name your struggles, name your losses, name your exhaustion. Remember, there is power in naming the pain. We don't have to shy away from it. And this can be a community where we can be honest about the really hard stuff. Even if you can't put it into a full sentence, maybe there is just a word or a phrase that might name the hard stuff you are facing right now. And I invite you to leave it in a comment. And also, I invite you to remember what comes after lament: hope. So friends, where did you see hope this week? Where did you see healing this week? Where did you see kindness and compassion? Where did you find love and laughter? Where did you see goodness and grace? Write that in the comments too, even if it's just a word or a phrase. Because kindling hope is indeed a practice of our faith, and we must keep practicing it. Friends, in the days and weeks ahead, remember that we need both lament and hope. Both are powerful practices of our faith. And we need to remind each other that God comes to us right in the midst of the hard stuff of our lives. That is where hope is born. Hope is born in the wilderness. It is born in our brokenness and in the brokenness of this world. And hope that is born from lament is a deep expression of our faith. So friends, do not hesitate to name the pain. And also keep kindling hope. Know that you are not alone. You are never alone. Know that you are so loved. And P.S. Wash your hands. Amen. Friends, our closing hymn